You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What does it mean to be an entrepreneur? I can tell you this. It is not for the faint in heart. It is only for the brave, the courageous, the calculated. Entrepreneurship is reserved for the resilient. Don't even step on the playing field if you have not counted up the cost of entrepreneurship.
A lot of you want the future, but you are not willing to pay the price that is required to purchase it. The world does not need just another entrepreneur. The world needs a disruptive entrepreneur. And see, a disruptive entrepreneur is somebody that comes along with an idea that challenges and changes the status quo. An entrepreneur's drug is self-discipline, an obsession with progress and evolution. A disruptive entrepreneur is addicted to success. They are addicted to performing under pressure. They are addicted to results. The disruptive entrepreneur knows one simple fact, and that is this: I will make it, maybe not immediately, but absolutely and definitely. Don't tell me you want to step into a room and dominate if you don't have passion. Don't tell me that you want to be a disruptive entrepreneur and you want to step into a room with a new idea and challenge and change the status quo and you don't have passion. If you're going to be a disruptive entrepreneur, you're going to have to master the art of listening. You're going to have to master optimism, resilience, consistency, perseverance, loyalty, creativity, courage, effort, patience, time management, the ability to take responsibility.
Entrepreneurs have a greater capacity for uncertainty. They stay up late, they work longer, they are more focused. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, you're going to need to lead.
See, everybody want to talk about the good idea, the cute branding, the banners, the website, the fans, the followers, the likes, and the shares. But I'm gonna tell you the one thing you are gonna need if you are gonna win in the game of entrepreneurship, and that is grit. Inside of grit is passion, perseverance, character, courage, the ability to perform under pressure, to remain calm, cool, collected, not to buckle under the spotlight. Man, we need more resilient, passionate, committed, zealous entrepreneurs. The last thing the world needs is an entrepreneur that is not a disruptor. We need more ideas that will challenge the status quo.
Can I ask you a question right now? Can I ask you a real question? Not your neighbor, I'm talking to you. What kind of student are you right now in life? You're in charge of your promotion. If you do 5 million and want to get to 10, you're in charge. In order for you to rise up, you better take your game to the next level. Your mindset needs to go to the next level. Your information needs to go to the next level. Your relationships need to go to the next level. Take your money and get information and access, and you will get good habits and good rituals, and you will go to the next level. I'm going to become somebody different. What do I need to do? You need to have an honest self-assessment about what your weaknesses are. And that's how you get to the next level. Can I ask you a question? You're not where you want to be. How good is your movement? When did you stop moving? Or is your movement inconsistent? Is your movement lackadaisical? Is your movement just weak? If you want to be a shark, they are always hunting. They are always looking. They are always grinding. So question, my friend, you trying to get to that next level by running your mouth? No, you got to get to that next level through your movement. You got to get to that next level through your activity. You got to get to that next level by how you operate. Can you ask your question? How strong is your movement? What time do you wake up in the morning? What time do you go to sleep? And how much time do you waste throughout the day? See, if you're wasting time, you got poor movement. If you're wasting time, you got weak movement. The only thing none of us can redeem is the time. You see, Bill Gates gets 24 hours a day. Any successful person you know, they get the same 24. And don't you ever forget that the rest of your life. Don't you ever stop moving. Don't you ever go backwards. To be a shark is about how you move, how you operate, how you navigate. See, as long as we connected, my friend, you can't stop. You can't quit. I ain't gonna let you. Not on my watch, baby. Get back in the game. It ain't over till you win. You might say, Walt, that's me, man. I quit. I got lazy. Man, I'm not moving. I'm laying in the bed, sad, lonely, depressed, angry because my girlfriend broke up with me, angry because my first business failed, angry because I didn't get into my dream school. Let me tell you, sir, it's a long race. It's a long race. Life is a marathon, baby. But if you stop running, you won't finish the course line. If you stop running, you won't get to the finish line. So as long as you can hear the sound of my voice, don't you ever stop moving. Don't you ever go backwards. And sharks never retreat. Sharks never retreat. And they pivot when they need to pivot. Can I ask you a question? Do you need to pivot right now? Your business idea is not working. Pivot. Your marriage is not working. Change how you operate. Pivot. Success is all around you. Just pay attention. You know, anyone that knows me knows I love sharks. Sharks are powerful creatures. Sharks are majestic creatures that run the ocean. Don't you want to run things? Don't you want to run your company, run your business, run your neighborhood, run your industry? If you want to run things, we got to study sharks. How? Why? Sharks don't swim. They swim. What do I mean by that? They got better movement. They just move better than every other fish in the ocean. In fact, a shark is a fish. But why do we call them sharks? Sharks are at the top of the food chain because they know how to move. Sharks are at the top of the food chain because they operate differently than all the other fish. If you want to get to the top of your food chain, I just laid the framework that you got to move different. You gotta operate different. You gotta attack different. You gotta think different. You gotta be different if you wanna be at the top of your food chain. Let's look at sports. I mean, doesn't LeBron just move a little different than every other athlete? Doesn't Tom Brady just move a little different than all the other quarterbacks? Go throughout the industry. Jay-Z, Beyonce, they just move a little different than everybody else. So if you wanna be the top, if you want to get to the top, you got to move different. You got to move better. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. You might be in sales. If you want to be a sales shark, you got to move different. You might still be in school. You want to be a straight-A student? You got to move and operate differently. You're a young, aspiring athlete in high school or college trying to make it to the league, trying to make it to the top? You can. It's right in front of you. But you got to move different. You gotta operate different. You gotta operate better in your social circuits. You gotta operate better in school, better in class, better in the sales meeting, better in front of the client. Why not? How do you move right now? I mean, let's be honest. How do you operate right now? And here's the truth. If you're operating the right way, you don't need to brag about yourself because others are gonna brag about you.
The story of Apple is a little misunderstood because it's like Steve and I did it ourselves. And we really, with the Apple II computer, we got funding. A guy funded us, an angel, and he joined us. And he had made his money working in marketing at Intel and as an engineer before. And he was a mentor. He was kind of young, but he was wealthy. And he owned as much of Apple as Steve and I did. Same amount of stock. Mike Markle is his name. And he ran our marketing, but he was our mentor. He told us how we would organize the company, what Steve's roles would be, what my role would be. So he was really more responsible for Apple's success than anyone. But he kind of lays out of the picture because Steve and I came from nothing. We had no savings accounts. We had no relatives or friends that could loan us money. We had, we just had this drive. We wanted to build this computer, wanted to find a way to sell it. And, you know, and for a while, we were getting the parts on 30 days credit with no money. And we'd build the computers in 10 days and sell them for cash at the store. So that was how we ran for, you know, a good year with the Apple I computer. Because we had nothing ourselves.
When you grow up, you tend to get told that the world is the way it is, and your life is just to live your life inside the world, try not to bash into the walls too much, try to have a nice family life, have fun, save a little money. But life, that's a very limited life. Life can be much broader once you discover one simple fact, and that is everything around you that you call life was made up by people that were no smarter than you. And you can change it, you can influence it, you can build your own things that other people can use. And the minute that you understand that you can poke life and actually something will, you know, if you push in, something will pop out the other side, that you can change it, you can mold it. That's maybe the most important thing, is to shake off this erroneous notion that life is there and you're just gonna live in it. Versus embrace it, change it, improve it, make your mark upon it. I think that's very important. Once you learn that, you'll never be the same again. People say you have to have a lot of passion for what you're doing, and it's totally true. And the reason is because it's so hard that if you don't, any rational person would give up. It's really hard, and you have to do it over a sustained period of time. So if you don't love it, if you're not having fun doing it, you don't really love it, you're going to give up. And that's what happens to most people, actually. If you really look at the ones that ended up, you know, being successful, unquote, in the eyes of society, and the ones that didn't, oftentimes it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it quit because they're sane, right? Who would want to put up with this stuff if you don't love it? So it's a lot of hard work, and it's a lot of worrying constantly. If you don't love it, you're gonna fail. So you gotta love it, you gotta have passion.
I have yet to meet any person who, in terms of picking talent, hyper-motivating that talent, and having a sense of design of, oh, this is good, this is not good. So he brought some incredibly positive things along with that toughness. And I always said that I was like a minor wizard because he would be casting spells and I would see people mesmerized. But because I'm a minor wizard, the spells don't work on me. I could not cast those spells. But I'd see them and I would say, hey, wait, don't. You're going to work even more than I would ask you to. This is crazy. Or you know, like when he did the next introduction, which is a computer that completely failed. It was such nonsense, and yet he mesmerized those people. Oh, yes, million by a million and black cube and all this stuff. And I was like, wait a minute, that spell should not work at all. It doesn't have any reality to it. So Steve is a very singular case where the company really was on a path to die, and it goes and becomes the most valuable company in the world with some products that are really quite amazing. That there aren't going to be many stories like that.
When I was 17, I read a quote that went something like, if you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right. It made an impression on me, and since then, for the past 33 years, I've looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I am about to do today? And whenever the answer has been no for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose.
My message is the same as some of your other guests. This is metamorphosis time. Financial education, in Rich Dad's terms, is really financial transformation. And the definition of metamorphosis is very important. Metamorphosis, the definition is the evolution or the transformation from an immature form to an adult form. An immature form to an adult form. Metamorphosis is the same as a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And Fuller always said there's nothing to predict a butterfly inside a caterpillar. So everybody listening right now, if you're struggling financially, just think of yourself as a little caterpillar. And this crisis is your cocoon. The question is, what do you emerge as? Do you emerge as a victim? You know, the world did that to me, and the capitalists are crook, and the rich are bastards and all this stuff. Or do you say, oh, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. The same as my health. I am ground zero for the coronavirus. All that does is inspire me to get healthier. You're either gonna get healthier and wealthier, or you're gonna go bust. Your choice. It sits between your ears, your heart, your body, your mind, your spirit, your attitude. This could be the best thing that ever happened to you, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, if you turn on to a butterfly or somebody will step on you like a little worm. It's your choice. Now, if you're in trouble today, my message is not so kind. This is hard talk, not happy talk. The crisis is in your head. Now, that's the bad news. The good news, you can change the crisis by changing what's inside your head. And so I'm doing, I hate to brag, but I'm doing extremely well financially today because as I was warning everybody, this crisis was coming. But it would be irresponsible of me to warn people of the crisis and not personally make changes myself. So right. The good news is the crisis is in your head. The bad news, it's in your head. The most important thing you can have right now is not job security, but meaningful work. So you and I don't need the money, but our work is meaningful. And it's our meaningful work that gets us through the hard times. So the good news is my company is sold out. We cannot keep up with product. The bad news is the supply chain shut down, but that's a good problem. We have tons of cash. I have gold, I have silver. And I do have challenges in the real estate market, but that's going to make me stronger. That's my only attitude I can have. Otherwise, I just cry and say, well, the government should take care of me. I need a bailout. I need a stimulus.
Now, do the rich people cringe and say, don't tell them that, Robert?
Yes, yes, yes. Don't tell people what you know. Right. Keep them poor. The poor will always be amongst us because it starts up here. It's in their words, but when they say, I can't afford it or I can't do that, they become what they say. And I made so many people, I can't afford it. You think I made them money? And my rich dad would say, that's why he's poor. Poor people say, I can't afford it. I can't do that. I don't have time. Because this is an escape. It's easy to say, I can't afford it. Oh, I'm too tired. Oh, I can't go to the gym. You know, when you could go to the gym. No, I can't. Truth is, I'm just too lazy to go to the gym. But the thing is that we become creatures of our own habits. And until we break the habit, we don't change. But the way he taught me about money was playing Monopoly. And I finally, one day I got upset. I said, well, when are you gonna teach me about money? He says, what do you think we're doing? We're playing Monopoly. He goes, no. What do you think we're doing? We're playing Monopoly. He says, what do you think we're doing? I said, I don't know. I'm teaching you about money. And then that's when, you know, you have one greenhouse. You know, he says, there's many formulas for great success in money. There's thousands of them. But one of the best ones found on the game of Monopoly. It still is today.
four greenhouses, one red hotel. I said, what? He says, one of the greatest ways to acquire great wealth is playing Monopoly in real life. Four greenhouses, one red hotel. Well, is that all there is? He goes, that's it. And he says, what do you think I'm doing? And I went, I don't know. So then he took me out and he showed me his greenhouses. And 10 years later, when I was 19, I was now in school in New York, and I come back to Hawaii, and Rich Dad had bought the biggest piece of land smack dab in the middle of Waikiki Beach. And when you go to Waikiki Beach today, you'll see the Hyatt Regency Hotel. That was his hotel.
Just like the game of Monopoly.
Just like the game of Monopoly.
Acquired assets and they became bigger assets.
He just kept what's called an assemblage, because that property wasn't that big at the time. So he had to buy out all the small guys. Because Waikiki was a little dirt water, little town. So he'd buy out this shop owner and buy that shop owner. And it took him a while, but he finally assembled this large piece of property. And then he and Hyatt put up this giant hotel.
You know,
it just sold for $800 million. So that's how I learned about money.
That all those things improve the odds of success.
Okay.
Right. I mean, if other people are putting in 40-hour work weeks and you're putting in 100-hour work weeks, then even if you're doing the same thing, you know that you will achieve in 4 months what it takes them a year to achieve. When I was a kid, I was wondering, kind of, what's the meaning of life? Like, why are we here? What's it all about? And I came to the conclusion that what really matters is trying to understand the right questions to ask. And the more that we can increase the scope and scale of human consciousness, the better we are able to ask these questions. If somebody is doing something that is useful to the rest of society, I think that's a good thing. Like, it doesn't have to change the world. If you're doing something that has high value to people, I mean, I think that's fine. Like, stuff doesn't need to be changed the world just to be good. But it, you know, in terms of things that I think are most likely to affect the future of humanity, I think AI is probably the single biggest item in the near term that's likely to affect humanity. So it's very important that we have the advent of AI in a good way. If you could look into the crystal ball and see the future, you would like that outcome, because it is something that could go wrong. As we've talked about many times, we really need to make sure it goes right. Working on AI and making sure it's a great future, that's the most important thing, I think, right now. Obviously, anything to do with genetics, if you can actually solve genetic diseases, prevent dementia or Alzheimer's or something like that with genetic reprogramming, that would be wonderful. So I think this genetics, it might be the sort of second most important item. I think having a high bandwidth interface to the brain, like we're currently bandwidth limited. We have a digital tertiary self in the form of our email capabilities, our computers, phones, applications. We're effectively superhuman. But we are extremely bandwidth constrained in that interface between the cortex and your sort of that tertiary digital form of yourself. And helping solve that bandwidth constraint would be, I think, very important for the future as well. On signal over noise, a lot of companies get confused. They spend money on things that don't actually make the product better. So, for example, at Tesla, we've never spent any money on advertising. We put all of the money into R&D and manufacturing and design to try to make the car as good as possible. I think that's the way to go. So for any given company, just can keep thinking about, are these efforts that people are expending, are they resulting in a better product or service? And if they're not, stop those efforts. You may have heard me say that it's good to think in terms of the physics approach of first principles, which is, rather than reasoning by analogy, you boil things down to the most fundamental truths you can imagine, and you reason up from there. And this is a good way to figure out if something really makes sense, or if it's just what everybody else is doing. It's hard to think that way. You can't think that way about everything. It takes a lot of effort. But if you're trying to do something new, it's the best way to think. And that framework was developed by physicists to figure out counterintuitive things like quantum mechanics. So it's really a powerful method. You guys are the magicians of the 21st century. You know, don't let anything hold you back. Imagination is the limit, and go out there and create some magic.
You can choose. We all get to choose our life stories, and it's the choices that define us, not our gifts. Everybody in this room has many gifts. I have many gifts. You can never be proud of your gifts because they're gifts. They were given to you. You might be, you know, tall, or you might be really good at math, or you might be extremely beautiful or handsome, or, you know, there are many gifts, and you can only be proud really of your choices, because those are the things that you are acting on. And one of the most important choices that each of us has, and you know this just as well as I do, is you can choose a life of ease and comfort, or you can choose a life of service and adventure. And when you're 80, which one of those things do you think you're going to be more proud of? You're going to be more proud of having chosen a life of service and adventure.
We've never been a better time to be alive. I mean, it's just incredible the amount of inspiration that the world generates for me, and I think for a lot of people. It's just, it's insane the amount of change and invention and opportunity.
Your life, the life you author from scratch on your own, begins. How will you use your gifts? What choices will you make? Will inertia be your guide, or will you follow your passions? Will you follow dogma, or will you be original? Will you choose a life of ease, or a life of service and adventure? Will you wilt under criticism, or will you follow your convictions? Will you bluff it out when you're wrong, or will you apologize? Will you guard your heart against rejection, or will you act when you fall in love? Will you play it safe, or will you be a little bit swashbuckling? When it's tough, will you give up, or will you be relentless? Will you be a cynic, or will you be a builder? Will you be clever at the expense of others, or will you be kind?
Every time you figure out some way of providing tools and services that empower other people to deploy their creativity, you're really onto something. You know, you're very lucky if you have a career. A lot of people end up with a job.
If you don't love your work, you're never going to be great at it. Jules Verne, Mark Twain, Galileo, Newton, all the curious from the ages would have wanted to be alive, most of all, right now. As a civilization, we will have so many gifts, just as you as individuals have so many individual gifts as you sit before me. How will you use these gifts? And will you take pride in your gifts or pride in your choices?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.